Dominique Browning was the celebrated editor of the magazine House and Garden. When the economy started to tank and she and her entire staff were fired and the magazine itself folded. But what began as a disaster became a golden opportunity to slow down, learn to savor life, and spend time getting to know herself. Browning writes about the journey in her memoir, Slow Love. She told Anne Strainchamps about the day everything changed.
You know, the first few days, actually, when something bad happens, are full of friends reaching out and even strangers reaching out and sending flowers and condolences. It's really, anybody who's been through any kind of heartbreak or loss knows that pattern. You're very, very busy at the beginning, just organizing around it, packing up the office, getting the boxes home, all of that. It's after the first couple of weeks when suddenly the attention kind of tails away and you're faced with, I was, and we were all faced with completely blank calendars.
As you look back now, are there little moments, little vignettes that come to mind that sort of encapsulate stages along the way as you began to fall in love with living alone and the possibilities of this slower, different lifestyle?
One of them, oddly, involved technology. I started baking because I was spending way too much money at the bakery, and I thought I'll just make my own sugar fix. And I started looking for recipes online, and I stumbled into a world of not even bloggers, although some of them were bloggers, but commenters on other people's recipes. And people would tell funny stories about muffins they would make and nobody at the office would eat them or things like that. And so I'd be up late at night kind of in this community of mostly women talking about baking and their lives. And I suddenly realized, wow, there's a world out there at my fingertips that I never would have had access to had this happened 10 years earlier. And it was really fun.
That's so interesting, you know, that the very experience of being alone, just alone in your house, has completely changed because of online technology.
Absolutely. And I think that's marvelous. Hmm.
Did you bake a lot of bran muffins?
I did. I can bake a bran muffin with anything in your refrigerator. But, you know, my life didn't really, it slowed down for a while. What's interesting to me now is having had this long period of living alone, I've moved into a whole new career. I'm working for Environmental Defense Fund. I've started an organization called Moms Clean Air Force. And speaking of technology, I work at my kitchen table. My team is scattered around the country, and we work, you know, via phone and via computer. And I'm busier than I've ever been. But I have a much more peaceful sense of my existence now than I did before.
You've lived in all the ways that women of our generation do. In some ways, you've lived married. You've lived married with two children, married with two children and a job, and then divorced and with two children, and then your children gone and your partner gone. Out of all of those, I mean, you know how sociologists say that married women are happiest or single men are happiest? Was there a time in your life when you were happiest, do you think?
I'm the happiest I've ever been right now.
Really?
You know, I read all these articles about how impossible it is for women to have jobs and children and all the rest of it, and it just makes me furious. You know, the impossible thing is for people to be told, you can't do this, you can't do that. The idea that we can't be happy alone, that we can't be productive on our own, it's sort of a soul killer, and we don't need to hear that anymore.
Some of the loveliest moments in your book are come in a chapter or two when you write about playing music, playing Bach's Goldberg variations late at night. Could you talk a little bit about what playing music again came to mean to you?
I've played piano since I was 3 years old. My mother was a pianist trained in Casablanca, conservatory trained. She wanted me to be a pianist, which I could never have been. So it's always been part of my life, and I went through a long string of sleepless nights. You know, that's horrible, you know, wake up at 3 a.m. and it really is too late and too early for anything. And I sat down and started playing one day music that I'd owned for a long time and had literally never opened. It was completely unfamiliar, although I know recordings of the pieces. But I started just walking through them very slowly, and I hadn't played in quite a while, and I kind of gave myself over to the music, and it's like reading poetry or a novel. Playing music gets you out of your own head, you know, especially those late night thoughts when you're skidding out, and you move into the rhythm of somebody else's heart, really, in a way. And I found the music incredibly soothing, and I was too tired to have any of that ego of how bad I sounded compared to how I sound when I practice. And I just enjoyed it as an experience of playing. And that was another one of those moments of thinking, wow, this is great. I don't have to worry about waking anybody up. I'm doing exactly what I want to do and not worrying about how weird or eccentric this might be. And it's kind of marvelous.
Do you ever have to deal with loneliness much? I mean, I was thinking, you know, women get told a lot of the time that they should get married and live with someone and that otherwise they'll die alone with a lot of cats and no one will find their bodies for weeks. Now that you've spent some time making peace with living alone, what would you tell other women who think about living alone?
I would say, yes, of course, there are times when I'm lonely, but it's even more heartbreaking to me to listen to my friends who are married and so profoundly unhappy in their marriages that they feel lonely when they're with somebody. As far as dying alone, you know, just because you live alone doesn't mean you don't have friends, you don't have family, you don't talk to people. You know, I'm assuming that somebody will discover my dead body eventually, and anyway, I won't care. I won't be there.
Dominique Browning is the former editor of Home and Garden and the author of Slow Love. She spoke with Anne Strainchamps.